the book of Mark, Mark's Gospel. It's interesting the descriptions that different ones of the writers use, and some would say they had a different audience in mind, and more than likely God, in His wisdom and His desire to reach all people, would vary the message just a bit so that there would be an attention getter. There would be an awareness that the different ones had. For example, in the book of Matthew, you'll see again and again that the scriptures might be fulfilled, or according to the scriptures. There's reference to the Old Testament scriptures in abundance in Matthew in particular, because he's trying to reach the Hebrews. Amen. Mark is the shorter gospel, and he's very direct. He's very practical, very between the eyes with the message that he wants to impart. And that's how we find him describing in Mark 5 this situation of a certain woman. And that certain woman had an affliction, and it had gone on for 12 years. Goodness, you can imagine what her state of mind would be after enduring for 12 years this affliction that she had. But there's a change coming, and that's what Mark records for us here. A change that took place, 12 years in coming, but the change did happen. Verse 27 of Mark 5. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Praise God. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, in the crowd, and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? You see the emphasis here? There's a touch that God wants to make in your life. And that touch can be initiated by you. And it can be something that you focus on. It can be something that you press towards. Amen. And I'm going to touch the Lord. Praise God. You may be seated. Lord bless you. Now, in this particular week, actually, the stores have been showing red and hearts and Valentines and candy for quite a while already. Not just this week. Been building up to this week, but the emphasis there on getting sweet treats and beautiful flowers and nice cards and all of those things have been a focus. And we're touched by receiving a card. Remember those, they call them conversation hearts. Remember the little sayings on the candies, and you get them all arranged and review the little statements on them and so on. Sometimes just one word, sometimes a phrase. But we are touched by a song. We're touched by a poem. We're touched by a card, or more directly, who we receive the card from. By the way, thank you for all the very nice comments, the nice little notes that you write on your card. You're very sneaky in passing those cards around so that so everybody can write. It's very touching. You may think it's just a common statement or phrase, but for Sister Glover and I, it's something we cherish. and Valentine's. I can remember you had a Valentine party coming up in your classroom. I can remember Valentine's Day celebrations in the classrooms where I taught. And the good feeling, the smiles, the laughter, the friendship that was exhibited. We had different parties at different times, you know, in the school year, and set aside an hour or so in the afternoon for that. And some of the parties were rowdy. Some of them were glittery and shiny. And I just remember Valentine's party as being very, very sweet. Not just sweet from the calories and the sugar, but just the way everybody related to each other. It was a lot of fun. So we're touched by those kinds of things. Here's this poor woman who has suffered. The Bible calls it a plague. We know this affliction was company to her day after day for 12 years. And Mark says she suffered many things of many physicians. She spent all that she had and was nothing bettered. In fact, the situation was even worse. There was no cure. There was no relief. There was no, it's better. And I'm much improved. Her anemic condition just made her more weak. And no matter what the remedy was, no matter the cost of the remedy, no matter what it required of her, she was willing to step forward into that cure and spend her money, spend her time, give her energies. But even after she spent everything, wasn't any better. And you can imagine the hopelessness, the helplessness, the feeling that began to settle in her mind and her heart. Am I ever going to get better? How is this going to improve? And depression, no doubt, gripped her. And thoughts of suicide came and went through her mind in the midnight hour as she's alone. She doesn't have the help that she needs. She doesn't have the resources. Her finances are dwindling. Her energy is not being replenished. But then she heard of Jesus. She heard about Jesus. Oh, she had chased after cures. She had pursued doctors and their advice. She tried different treatments that she heard about, but all to no avail. But then she heard about Jesus. Praise God. What a difference that can make. And I often wonder who told her. How did she hear? What was the content of the message that she heard? Was it just somebody who was curious? Was it someone who just happened to be on the outskirts of the crowd when Jesus healed a leper or Jesus raised the dead or Jesus did any number of works that we know that he accomplished, and word then got passed around, and this poor woman who was sick for 12 years finally has a glimpse of hope that there's a healer, and his name is Jesus. Praise God. And hopefully it was someone who was compassionate about her condition and willing to step out and say, there's someone who can make a difference. You ought to see him. You ought to hear him. You ought to go to him. And so she did. Praise God. I'm thankful we can tell others about what the Lord has done. Amen. So thankful that we can witness of God's goodness. Amen. And the experiences that others have had in their healing, and how the Lord has done a great work. Praise God. So she determined, I'm going to go and see this one. And when she got to the approximate area where he was, there was a throng, there was a multitude, there was a crowd, there was a noise. And she could see it moving down the street. And she wondered, how am I going to get into that crowd? And all I need to do is touch his garment. That's all. I don't need to speak with him. I don't need to have him grasp my hand or touch my shoulder. I don't need any of just touching his clothes, I know is going to be enough. I wonder how she arrived at that. I wonder how faith within her caused her to understand just the touch of his garment is going to be enough. So in her weakened condition, she struggled into the crowd and stumbled and stretched out to reach him. And finally, she got close enough to touch him. And her fingertips made contact with the fabric of his garment. If I may but touch his clothes, she said, I shall be whole. What inspired that faith? How did she arrive at that conclusion? How did she know that there was going to be a change, a dynamic change, a miraculous change? It happened. Jesus did in 1 second what 12 years of cures and treatments and quacks, I mean doctors, and all the different ones that tried to minister to her and relieved her of her finances. She was made whole. Amen. Praise God. And then the whole thing stopped because Jesus stopped. And he's looking around. And he says, who touched my clothes? No, it wasn't a condemnation. It wasn't how dare you, you know, kind of thing. No. In fact, the disciples, incredulous, you know, that, Lord, there's a multitude here. And they're all thronging around you. Everybody's pushing and shoving. Everybody wants to be close to you. Everybody's trying to get your attention, and you say, who touched me? Oh, the Lord knew the power that had gone out of him. He knew the faith that had made contact with him. He knew the difference that had been made because of his power. Praise God. Now, I know the Lord knew. You know, he knows. He knew who made contact with him. He knew who had the faith. He knew what had taken place, but the crowd didn't know. They didn't sense what was up. They didn't see the miraculous change that had taken place. And the Lord wanted them to see it. Amen. The crowd needed to understand. The crowd needed to recognize the incredible need that had been met in just a moment because of that woman's faith. So Jesus stands there looking at the crowd, and he's looking at each face, and finally he sees her. He knew her. He knew her need. He recognized what was going on, but he wanted the rest of the crowd to recognize what had happened and what she had received and the moment that had taken place in the miracle. In verse 47, when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him. Oh, now, let's just insert here now for a moment. Because, you know, her hemorrhage condition made her unclean according to the law. No one was supposed to touch her. She's not supposed to touch anybody. If you read Leviticus in the bread program, you realize that there's that prohibition there. And so her faith was matched by her bravery. Her need compelled her into that throng where she knew she was not supposed to be because of her condition. But that didn't stop her, and that didn't stop the Lord. Praise God. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. Amen. He's the one who fulfills the law. He's the one who takes care of all the needs. He's the one who heals on the Sabbath. Amen. Praise God. It's not going to stop him. It's not going to hold him back. There isn't something that's going to be a regulation in the way. No, wait. You can't heal on the Sabbath. You can't minister on the Sabbath. No. You're not supposed to do that. You hypocrite. I like the way he challenges them. If your ox falls in the ditch, you'll make sure to get that ox out of the ditch. How much more? Amen. Oh, thank God. He values the worth of you. Amen. All of the galaxies, all of the stars, he numbers them. He calls them by name. But he also knows your name. He also knows your need. He also knows what you require. He knows what the touch of his hand can bring to you. Praise God. And he's not going to ignore you. Amen. Amen. So she touched him. She explained why she touched him and how she was healed immediately. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord. There would be that demonstration of his power again. Amen. The one who did touch him. But, you know, in that crowd, don't you think there were more needs than that? Don't you think there, in that multitude, there were many, many needs of miracles and the touch of the Lord and the healing that he was willing to give in that moment? Don't you think there were many who were hobbling along and had maybe not physical problems, but had problems in their mental state or in their spiritual state of how the Lord could extend his forgiveness and his blessing and his strength? Oh, many, 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 no doubt, who were there with a need. And Jesus was there to heal them all. He could have taken care of the needs of the multitude, in spite of the fact that he was on his way to Jairus' house, whose daughter lay dying, and then the message came, your daughter's dead. But he turned to her, the one who touched him, and said, daughter. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful that's the way he addressed her. He could have called her a sick woman, could have called her a certain woman, like the scriptures describe her at the beginning here, could have named her any other way, but he called her daughter. Thank God that the Lord understands that love relationship that he came to establish. He is the everlasting Father. Oh, I'm thankful that the Lord stopped where he was walking to minister to her. I'm thankful that he walked through the cities. He walked on the water. Thank God he walked by Bartimaeus, who called out and wouldn't stop calling out. Thank God he walked on the road to Emmaus with the two after the resurrection who were discussing back and forth about how they thought the Lord was the Christ. They thought the Lord was the Messiah. But he is dead, and this is the third day. And that third day didn't even ring a bell in their mind, because the Lord had said it many times that the third day he was going to rise. Praise God. But, oh, the Lord walked with them and provided for them and ministered to them. Praise God. The curious in the crowd may have come to look and to listen. There may have been some who just wondered, what's he going to do now? What kind of show am I going to see? What miracle is going to unfold? Maybe they just came to be entertained, but she came to touch. Praise God. When you have the right attitude, the right motive, the right desire, the right impulse, praise God, and bringing your needs to the Lord no matter what they are. Thank God he's there. He's there. Now, some were close. Some were within reaching distance, but they didn't reach. Some were within calling distance, but they didn't speak out. And oh, I'm thankful that we do have a high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Thank God that he's able to minister in ways that surpass anything else that we've received. Thank God he's able to provide in ways that go far beyond what medical science is able to achieve today, and the Lord bring about tremendous result. I'm so thankful we can bring our needs before him. regardless of what they are. I'm thankful we can lean on him and believe him for the touch that he's able to bring. Elijah may have been astonished that the Lord said, I'm going to cause ravens to bring food to you. You can stop right here by this brook, and you can have your water source right there. And it's going to be provided for you. He may have been amazed to hear the wings flapping and the birds bringing the food to him, and him going and immersing his cup in that brook and drinking again and again because the drought was on. It wasn't raining at all, but he had a source of water. He may have been shocked when the Lord told him there's a widow that's going to provide for you. And even though the brook dried up and the ravens stopped bringing, there came a time when he relied upon meal and oil from the widow, because the Lord understands our needs. And thank God there came fire and rain from the Lord. Thank God there was angel food that he was able to take care of. Oh, listen, the Lord is able to provide your need. The Lord is able to minister to you no matter where you are and what your condition is. Thank God, God is there to provide in an amazing way with a wind and an earthquake and a fire. But even if those things in a sensational manner are not what God has in mind for you, listen for his still small voice. The still small voice. Amen. And the Lord being there as well. You know, we talk about those two boys. Well, actually, we talk about the one more than any in Luke 15, the boy who took all that he had, told his dad he didn't want to stay home, he didn't want to work the farm, he didn't want to remain in this little podunk town. He's going somewhere where he could live it up. And he gathered all of his inheritance, and he went to party. He went to have a good time, and it was the Lord's mercy that he went far away, so that his mom and dad wouldn't see the way he was living and what he was doing. So he's in a far place, a far country, the Bible calls it. And he spends all that he has. And he ends up with nothing. And he's in the pig pen, taking care of the pigs and considering, I'm going to eat some of that slop. No, he's down at the bottom. That's who we focus on. But take a moment to go back home now. Take a moment to go back where the elder brother is working, and he's staying there with his folks. He hasn't gone to spend money on harlots and parties and friends who are only patting him on the back to make him cough something up for them to have a good time and more money. And more expenditures and so on. He stayed home. But when the son comes back, because of, and I believe there were prayers that were reaching out to him. There were prayers that were going over the miles. Prayers that invaded his thoughts in the midnight hour. I believe there were prayers that continued and brought a touch into his life. And he made his way back home. His father, very excited to see him, puts a robe on him, puts a ring on him, puts shoes on his feet, sandals on his feet, kills a fatted calf. We're going to party. We're going to have a good time. This is my son who is dead and he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found. And he repeats that twice because they're so excited about the son coming back. But the elder son, not so much. He's got criticism. He's got harsh words. He's got wondering, you know, how come you haven't done this for me? I've been here. I've been working. I've been present. I haven't been out wasting your money, my inheritance. I haven't done any of those things. But he missed it because the father said, all that I have is thine. All that I have is thine. Praise God. And he missed the opportunity to obtain what the Lord had for him. Don't miss what God has for you. Don't miss the opportunity to receive from the Lord what he wants to give you. Praise God. You're his son. You're his daughter. Amen. He's open to your touch. He hears your cry. He knows your prayer and your needs. Thank God. And we can bring those things before him. Amen. Don't waste those opportunities. Now, we talk about the young man who wasted his opportunity. He wasted his virtue, his reputation, his health, and his time, his money. He wasted all of that. But the boy who stayed home wasted it too. Don't make either mistake. Amen. Touch the Lord and let his blessing come to you. So let's get back to this woman. She was made whole. If I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. That was her faith. That was her goal. That was her desire. And Jesus told her, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Praise God. And he repeated it. Go in faith and be whole. That's the work that our God can do. That's the power that he can display. Now, what does being whole mean anyway? What are we talking about here? She had the healing that she needed. And not just in a physical sense, but she had peace. She had joy. She had hope. She had a future. It wasn't just going to be fraught with misery and pain and problems. Now there's the opportunity to go into other people's houses because she's not unclean anymore. Praise God. She can fellowship. She can enjoy time together. She can be with her family and all of those aspects because the Lord made her whole. Thank God that there's that kind of opportunity that we have. We never outgrow the need for his touch. I'm never going to get beyond, oh, I've been serving God for 50 years. I don't need to be in a service anymore. I don't need to pray. I don't need to worship. Yes, you do. Because you need the touch of his presence again. You need the hand of the Lord to minister to you again. Praise God. John is the last surviving apostle. The last of the original apostles. He's in his 90s. He's on the Isle of Patmos. And the Lord is going to show him a revelation that he records in 22 chapters. And it's amazing what he has described before him as the Spirit opened up those vistas before him. And he was able to see in those visions of what was going to happen, the judgment that was to come, and the blessings that the Lord had in store. But he fell at the feet of the one who appeared before him. In awe, probably in weariness, probably in fatigue, probably his age played a part. But we know all of those things were dealt with, no matter what the cause, no matter what the need, no matter what the problem, all of them were dealt with when the Lord reached out and touched him. Praise God. Then he was able, in spite of the circumstances, in spite of the needs, in spite of the situations, he was able then to step forth with his pen and his paper or papyrus or whatever it was and record revelation. Praise God. Praise God, the power of the Lord. Amen. The Lord touched Jairus' daughter. The Lord touched the leper. Those were no-nos too. Don't touch a dead body, you're going to be unclean. Don't touch a leper, you're really going to be unclean. Didn't stop the Lord. He knows how to take care of those situations. And thank God, his touch makes me whole. When the world and its pressure and its problems start to pull away at my peace and peck away at my happiness and my joy and start to diminish in different ways the things that I know the Lord has blessed me with and the pressures and the pulling and the poking and all of that stuff that the world does for us and the devil with all of his lies and deceit trying to pull different aspects of God's blessing out of my being. The Lord steps in and says, "No, I made you whole." Amen. And thank God that power is there again for us. Amen. Stand with me again, please. There's an old song, Sister Glover, an old song that says, touching Jesus is all that matters. Praise God. Like the old phrase that we can apply to touching Jesus and nothing else matters. Because he takes care of the needs. Because he provides in every way to make us whole. Touching Jesus is all that matters. Nothing else matters. But if we don't touch Jesus, if we don't make contact with him in faith, if we don't focus upon him and want that touch of his presence in our lives, then again, nothing else matters. Because there really isn't going to be an answer. There really isn't going to be a way that the needs are going to be provided. We're going to need to receive from him. Praise God. Touching Jesus is all that matters. And your life will never be the same. We know that. Praise God. The Lord has shown us that again and again. But there's only one way to touch him. Just believe when you call on his name. Praise God. And again, he makes you whole. And again, he ministers to the needs. And again, he provides his blessing. His touch is so wonderful. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful that we can know his blessing in our lives. Amen. Let's sing that chorus today.
Touching Jesus is